Hello, this is Michelle Falter, the principal editor of the Journal of Language and Literacy Education, also known as JOLLY, a peer-reviewed open access journal housed in the Department of Language and Literacy Education at the University of Georgia, providing scholars a space to engage readers in a broad spectrum of issues related to the field. Today I have the privilege of talking to Meryl Randall from Michigan State University about her article titled Labeled Reading, Disabled, and Doing Reading, One College Student's Reading History, that is featured in our fall 2014 issue. Welcome, Meryl, and thanks for being here today.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you. I'm really glad to be here today.
So, Meryl, what are some of the main takeaways you hope readers get from your article?
Well, there are several things that I think I learned that I hope that reading my article will allow others to reconsider and think about. And one is reading disabilities are generally thought of as something negative. And one of the things that I learned from the individual, Mari, who I interviewed, was that there are potentially also some protective factors that can occur from having a reading disability, including perseverance and developing strong study skills, which allowed her to be successful. In addition, I think that generally in the field of reading disabilities, many people think that reading disabilities are something that can be cured or fixed. In talking to Mari, she's a very successful college student. She is on the honor roll. She's in an honor society. She's earning scholarships that are merit-based, and she still finds reading to be extremely tedious, challenging, and something unpleasant. And so I think it's important as educators, you know, K-16, to recognize that individuals who struggle with reading, even though they may be able to be successful, it may still be a very tedious process for them.
That makes a lot of sense. Also, I'm interested in finding out more about what motivated you to write this article.
So it's interesting. When I started teaching teachers at the college level, I really hadn't thought much about individuals with reading disabilities in higher education. And when speaking to some of the students that I had who identified themselves to me as having reading disabilities, and just engaging in conversations about the work that I do and them talking about their experiences, I learned a lot, just kind of accidentally, and it really helped me to think more about all of the information that I had learned that was already in the literature about reading disabilities and interventions and academic supports, in addition to what wasn't there. And I just kept coming back to the fact that voices of individuals were missing from this body of research, and recognizing how much I had learned from these anecdotal conversations, and so I wanted to investigate it further.
Thank you. Also, Meryl, our readers would be very interested in learning a little bit more about some of the challenges that you encountered when you conducted your research and any advice that you might give people who are doing the same kind of research.
Sure. Well, one challenge was that doing research with individuals that you already know comes with a unique set of challenges. One thing that I struggle with is wanting to give credit to Mari, which is a pseudonym, although because it is a pseudonym and for reasons that the article hopefully makes clear, you know, people with reading disabilities are often stereotyped or discriminated against. And Mari is an educator now, and we're still in touch, but I want to make sure that I don't put her in any position that would jeopardize her, but it still feels kind of strange to me to be taking, you know, all the authorship and credit and for me to be interviewed about this when I feel like it has been something that we learned together.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things. Another is just being flexible in terms of the types of data that I was able to collect. So initially, I was interested in observing a class that she was in, but it was something that she wasn't comfortable with. And although initially she was okay with it, when she changed her mind, I was very disappointed, but I recognized that her comfort level was more important than my own research agenda.
Right.
And so coming up with ways that I could learn and that she was comfortable with was definitely more important. And so, you know, I think in that, advice to other people is being true to yourself and the people that you're your informants, and making sure that you give them opportunities to collaborate with you if they choose to, but recognizing that they may not, and, you know, kind of being okay with it. If they're okay with their role in the research, then, you know, you can be too.
So one final question for you today. In what ways did your study challenge you to rethink and reconceive the theories you call on to frame your research?
Well, I think one thing that it really did was it demonstrated to me that the way that researchers theorize disability and the approaches that you take to what reading is matters tremendously. And by thinking about disability as a social construct and recognizing that reading itself is social helps us to design and use methodologies and methods that allow us to kind of reposition individuals who have been marginalized as experts on themselves. Because for me, as someone who has been a successful reader, I have no idea what it feels like to, you know, struggle tremendously with reading all the time. And so for me to say that giving, you know, a standardized reading test and an individual score in a reading test is the best indicator of, you know, who someone is as a reader is very different than speaking to somebody and showing them that they have voice and that their voice matters and is important and that we can learn from them. And that's something that Mari was surprised about, that people, I think that she was pleased that her stories might help others.
That makes a lot of sense. Well, Meryl, thank you so much for talking with Jolly Readers today. We really appreciated it.
Well, thank you, and I'm so glad to be able to be a part of Jolly and to have the opportunity to talk a little more about the work that I've done and connect with readers a different way.
Listeners, please continue the discussion began here by engaging with Meryl's work in our fall 2014 issue.